Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, March 1st, and this is episode 1553
of WDW. That
I know, but I am...
Do you know what day it is? Do we need to go over this again?
It's March 1st. It's the Flower and Garden starts today.
Yay!
Yeah. So if you're going to Flower and Garden, enjoy. I always love that one because you usually get to go through Wonders of Life. Not Wonders of Life. The Wonders of Life Pavilion. You get to walk through that and imagine it's 1996 again.
You know what I go through? The wonder of life every day because I'm alive.
And because your wife is pregnant.
Well, I was
more importantly,
my life.
Oh, sorry.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's a wonderful life.
Some people tweeted you.
Francis Ford Coppola.
He tweeted
Frank
you?
Capra.
Frank.
It's a wonderful
what?
Life.
Oh, it's a wonderful life. Yeah. I have been in the same, I have walked past the hut that he wrote It's a Wonderful Life in.
The Jabba the Hut?
No, it's a little, it's a, like a one bedroom, little, maybe one bedroom, I don't know. It's a little villa and a La Quinta. Which, not at La Quinta, not
you
the hotel.
At La Quinta?
The inn.
The La Quinta Resort in.
You get real good deals on those.
In the Palm Springs area.
A traveling salesman.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. You walk by and they're like, this is where Frank Capra wrote It's a Wonderful
Life. That's
cool. Yeah.
La Quinta, California. Palm Springs area.
Yeah, so it's in that cool resort.
You always find the historic hotel. When we went to release As Dreamers Do, we stayed on the same floor as, I stayed on the same floor as old. Whitney Houston's hotel room there.
Oh, that's good. The Beverly Hilton.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a pretty well-known hotel.
So was La Quinta, but I didn't know La Quinta. That's where that was. I didn't stay there. My brother stayed there. Oh, by the way, if you're in Palm Springs, I can say this, on Palm Springs on April 2nd or in the area and want to come out, I will be at a screening of my short film, Welcome Home, Dick Van Dyke, which is about the trip that he made to his hometown of Danville, Illinois. Tickets are on sale now. I'll tweet out the link, or you can just get them on welcomehomedickvandyke.com. Just click on screenings, and you can click buy tickets. If you're going to be there, please let me know and come say hey. But today, we're going to switch things up a little bit. We're not going to talk Flower and Garden, because I feel like we talked that last year, and nothing really – does anything change? Nothing really changes.
As you're listening to this show, I'm at Flower and Garden, so I'll let you know next
week. Are you going tomorrow?
I'm going on Wednesday, yeah, tomorrow morning.
That's crazy.
So you will be at – Flower and Garden, even a year from now, because who's to say?
Yeah, the downloads keep going.
Yeah, we're not broadcasting,
but for you newbies, the people listen on day one.
Yeah,
which is the majority.
Be there.
Majority download day one. So, all right. Well, Terry's there. Will and I will be there briefly on Sunday, but not probably at the park. So, we'll be handling other important business at the Orlando City.
Keep it purple.
If you're going to be at the Orlando City game, also tweet us. Let us know. All right. So let's talk today. We've had a few Dan Zier from. Coffee with Kenobi. He tweeted this, and also, let's see, someone else just tweeted it as well. They want to do some. Dan tweeted me best thing to do with anybody. So this was.
He just said, "What's the best
like,
thing?"
No, he like went through the best thing with the non-married, married, kids, no kids, kids from this age. So he kind of covered all bases. But we had from Jane Booley on Twitter said she wanted to know about touring WDW with teenagers. One person did just walk in or just tweet adult trips to the world and best place to get drinks and relax. That's something that's more up our alley, what we could talk about. But let's talk about teenagers because we are seeing this move and Universal's now doing it in marketing. SeaWorld's even now doing it in marketing of saying Disney is not for teens. And look, mm-hmm. I can say for myself, as someone who lived in Orlando, will live in Orlando out of teens.
We were growing up as teenagers in the Orlando area.
We rarely went to Walt Disney World.
Specifically for the reason that now you see Universal and them exploiting.
Thrill rides, mm-hmm. and it just always felt a little bit more grown up. The city walk, everything
aren't
felt
really
cool.
Into the nostalgia factor or the coolness of what Walt did.
It's just kiddie rides.
Yeah.
It's what you think of when you're a teenager. And look, even where Universal has the upper hand is my parents and Will's parents would be kind of cool with us at Universal because it's one door in, one door out. You know, it was never this, they're going to get on a bus and go over here and they got to get, you know, it was always, there's two parks and City Walk.
Yeah, I think as a teenager, it still boggled my mind how to navigate Disney. Like,
right.
Like yeah. I wasn't even driving
still
there and
now.
I had like anxiety about
GPS.
Going there because the road system and the bus system and,
right.
you know, you just got to, it's like New York. Like, you got to dare the subway
system. You
got to
know it. You got to learn it.
Right.
You got to learn it or have a parent with you. Where Universal, it was you walk in the door and you have all the restaurant choices. You have everything. Yeah, technically you could walk to a hotel.
Teen Night at the Groove at City Walk, you know. I mean,
did you ever do that?
Yeah.
I never did it.
Yeah, well.
It wasn't really my scene.
Yeah, I mean, I think I only did it once because I wasn't much of a dancer.
Well, more of a
club life.
More of a musical theater dancer.
Yeah, more tap dance.
Choreographed.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up. Actually, I shouldn't look that up. Shouldn't Google that. Teen Night at the Groove. No, not good. My wife's going to be like, why is this on your search history?
You're going to Florida this weekend.
Yeah, you and Will are going to Teen Night at the Groove?
Well, it's great. We
it's all ages. It's all ages. It's fine. Now, this Sunday, Will and I were talking about Olivia Newton-John is playing at the Mardi Gras at Universal. But let's talk Disney.
I would so go to that if I was there.
We're considering it.
Yeah.
So we're considering hitting the Orlando City match.
Play Grease Lightning.
Ubering over to we're probably not Uber. I have a parking pass. But driving over to City Walk and going to see.
What was her first – what's her big hit?
She was in Grease.
Well, sure. But like her big – like
Let's Get Physical.
I remember walking to Kmart. In fact, I made two purchases – This gives you an indication. The two purchases I made that day was Let's Get Physical on a cassette single and the Hulkamania workout kit.
There you go.
So that was the complete day of my – it was a big –
the ultimate 80s day.
It was the ultimate 80s day.
That's awesome. But we're going to get down to are there things – oh, sorry, Will.
Which one was your favorite, though? I'm just trying to think, like, well, those were your two that you went
I was ready to get physical.
Right, he's working out.
It's the most bizarre purchases together that you're like, I got the Hulkamania workout, and let's get physical.
He saw the video. He saw it's about, you know, because it's, you know, they kept it more clean
Hulk
than the music video.
Crazy commercials for that, like pitching directly to you watching.
Listen here, brother. Yep. You want to have 27-inch biceps like me, brother?
Ooh. Some pythons.
Listen here, Mean Gene.
Yep.
Like, I'm Mean Gene.
Yeah, he pitched directly to you to go buy it, and I, like, helped my grandpa.
People are – this is those segments where, like, you didn't talk about Disney World until 9 minutes in. Let's actually let's take a breath and refocus here, folks, because this is becoming BLT. We just talked about nonsense.
Yeah.
So for this, though, are there things – I guess that's really the question. Are there things that appeal to your teenager that isn't – let's say your teenager is not like a Disney nut. Sure, there's plenty of those that they grew up in it. Their parents loved it. They love it. But for those of you who are the casual tourist that are going down to Orlando, is it worth it as a teen or to bring your teenager is it going to be entertaining for your teenager to be at Walt Disney
for
World?
For me, I think that there are two things that are kind of still teen focused. And they're about to get more teen-focused. Yeah. So when I was in that age, I always wanted to go to MGM because they had the more thrill rides.
Right.
Now it's obviously Disney Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
And they still have Rock and Roller Coaster. They have the Tower of Terror. They have an interactive ride like Toy Story Mania. They have those rides that are more engaging on that level. So I feel like even though it's a shell of its former self in some
right now,
ways, especially when they add the Star Wars land, that is going to be teen central and they're going to be able to take the crown. I would also add Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, with Avatar.
Because and even though you and I rag on the safari quite a bit, it's still an experience. It's still a good event that a teen is going to be.
It's a small world.
Right. More fine with that. And who's to say what Pandora is going to be? It looks like that also may be very engaging for the teen, even if they're not a fan of the movie that escapes me, Avatar.
Escapes the most people, don't
I actually have never seen Avatar.
Oh, we need to do we got a movie theater here. We need to do a screening.
Yeah.
It's only like 3 hours long. So
doesn't
okay.
It just didn't really like wet my whistle.
I understand.
Yeah.
It looked good, though.
You didn't see Avatar either?
No, I said it looked good. Visually.
Visually. It looked good. It just didn't move me out there. So what do you think, Terry?
Logan and I keep playing footsie under the table.
Oh, nice.
Wow, I'm glad I'm on this end of the table now.
No, you're actually missing out.
Yeah, we were at a round table before in the old studio.
Makes it
now
more
we're,
interesting.
Now, gosh.
I mean, he does.
You
I mean,
made it weird.
We're playing footsie. We've admitted it.
I just still play Let's Get Physical in my head, and you guys are playing footsie.
That's what you meant by interesting. Olivia Newton-John's soundtrack is playing right now.
I'll admit, Universal, as of late, has been running commercials that are, like, incredibly convincing that if you have a teenager and they're watching...
Don't go to Disney.
And I think this question is really geared towards teenage boys. because teenage girls tend to be more nostalgic. They're going to enjoy the
fantasy land.
They also may like taking the pictures with the characters and that type of stuff. You're right. We still would ring better with a teenage girl than a teenage boy.
Yeah, and I've spent a good part of my life working with students and teenagers, and so I think what you're really asking is what and Will answered it. I mean, Will nailed it. Is that Hollywood Studios is, I mean, arguably, if you have teenage boys, and this may seem like sacrilege, you probably should plan a day at the other park in town because
you really look at if we look at the four parks. I mean, you almost sadly, because it comes back around once a kid, I'd say, is 18, 19, and then get into the early 20s. Mm-hmm. But those teen years, there's almost two parks you'd kill. I mean, sadly.
If we had kids, and some of them are teenagers and some of them were not, I would say my recommendation would be do a dad's day. Let the girls and mom go do Fantasyland and do the princess stuff and go gung-ho Logan style.
But then, this is not a fight because Disney never Disney is the Coca-Cola in this.
Right.
They never have to mention Universal in an ad campaign.
No.
Where Universal is Pepsi, where it's why we're better than Disney. And that's why you'll always see that. Disney doesn't have to worry about it because people are going to still come. It's this, can you get people to Orlando for that? And beyond Universal, when you look at, and people may say, well, go to resorts. I mean, I'll be honest, like as a teenage boy, like looking back on it, what are the things that I would want to do? And just, like Magic Kingdom genuinely has maybe three attractions that I would, as a kid, would have been like, that's fun.
Space, Thunder, and
Big Thunder Mountain, and maybe I'm trying to think.
See, Splash Mountain. I would say this in a
Big
in
Thunder.
A
I'd even line. Take it.
Yeah. I do have a devil's advocate thing. So finish your thought, and then I do have kind of a.
And I wasn't wasn't a big thrill ride guy, but I still found more at Universal often. I mean, by the time I was like 15, I was a thrill ride guy. But before then, I wasn't a hardcore thrill guy. And when I'd go to Disney, I would typically do Magic Kingdom. I do Pirates. I was more of a nostalgic person, though, so I do Pirates and Tiki Room and those kind of things. But most teen boys aren't going to lean that way. And we would spend most of our time at Hollywood Studios. So we do Star Tours. We would do sometimes Tower, sometimes Rock and Roller Coaster and Great Movie Ride and a few of these other things. The Backlot Tour is a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
You got a little bit more out of it. But there were years where, I'll be honest, where I didn't go to Disney and I was going to Universal. Not partially because we lived much closer to Universal. But it's harder to think about it now and think what's there that's appealing because it's very difficult. And you can say, well, there's these water slides and there's pools and all that. That's not what's going to get your kid to want to go.
I even remember like Alien Encounter as a teenager.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like awesome. That was a thrilling.
Totally loved it.
Like I remember my 13-year-old self on that ride going, what in the world just happened? Like,
yeah, I agree.
And so you know, I think that they could definitely. Obviously, there's no argument Disney is the big dog. They're the Coke.
And always will be.
But for that 12 to 17-year-old boy category, it's the one thing that Universal consistently.
Yeah, and you can, and Will has a rebuttal to this, I want to hear it, but you also can spend money not just at one of the two big parks, so at the big resorts. So there's also a lot of stuff on International Drive that would appeal more to the teen boy, whether that's indoor skydiving or whether that's zombie hunting at the zombie encounter thing or. What? It's like a laser tag zombie thing. There's those kind of attractions. A lot of them are, you know, they may not be there the next time you visit, but there's a lot of that kind of stuff over there. But that's not to say there's nothing to do. And I think a lot of it's the way you prep your kid and the way you get them into it. Don't sell them on, you know, the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking back through it and I was thinking about our experience as teen boys, not as teen boys who had never been to Disney before.
Yeah.
Epcot for a teenager may still not be super interesting. But if I've never been to Disney, Magic Kingdom for a day,
still fun.
As a teen boy, riding Pirates, riding Haunted Mansion, even going
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, seeing those other things that
You're
like
right.
The streetmosphere that we always talk about, I feel like those things are still going to be awe-inspiring and captivating in a way because you've never experienced anything like that and you're not going to experience something that level of grandeur at Universal. So,
agreed.
If you have been as a child and ridden those things,
yeah, this is a return trip.
I think they do kind of lose a little bit of their luster for a teen boy, and then you regain it. But if you've never been, I would say Magic Kingdom is going to still be thrilling and fun. You just don't pitch it as this is the roller coaster park or something like that.
Yeah, and you also just don't pitch it as this is where you get to go do Peter Pan and Small World. You know, this is where you have to kind of find that right
level. Yeah, because in Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Thunder Mountain, those three rides are still very thrilling and fun.
Yeah, and well, I'm trying to think what else. I'm sure there's something. Space, Splash, the Three Mountains. What else would be?
I still think that Pirates Space and Ranger Mansion spin as a
Space Ranger, yeah. Buzz Lightyear, you shoot stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Winnie the Pooh ride is kind of
it's just,
fun
it,
when you
that's
go
just
through
convincing
that
a kid. Yeah, that's the main thing. A lot of it isn't that they won't enjoy the experiences. It's the they will buck the system because you're their mom and dad.
Ride Winnie the
right.
Pooh.
I don't want to ride Winnie the Pooh. I don't want to ride Peter Pan. I don't want to ride I'm trying to think of others. But you have to get past a lot of that. Your kid has to be set up correctly to enjoy their day at the Magic Kingdom and give them a little bit of free reign to decide what you're going to do next.
And here's what I would suggest is a lot of times on family vacation growing up, you know, we go to the beach. I was an only child, so there was no brother, sister. Yeah. There was no one else. So I was normally allowed to bring a friend on vacation. And that, you know, that can, as a teenager, that can change the game a little bit to have, especially if they have younger siblings that are wanting to do that are wanting to wait in line. You know, if you're a 13-year-old guy, you don't want to wait in line for Cinderella. You may wait in line for Ariel, but you're not going to wait in line for the princess meetups. But, you know, let him come with a friend.
Nor should you be disappointed that your kid doesn't want to do
right.
that. It's something you should be relieved that your teenage boy is like, yeah, I don't want to wait an hour for a princess. But you, some kids like that. They enjoy it. I do. Let's kind of go park by park then. So Magic Kingdom, you do have your handful of thrill rides and a bunch of stuff. Now, we've already talked to Animal Kingdom and talked some. Epcot is that big question. And
you've got Test Track, obviously, which is...
Yeah, which is okay. I mean, to me, it's the one to cut.
It was better. When you walk through the old theming and the as a boy, like the car theming and the car.
Oh,
factory.
The ride Test Track was better. Yeah, I agree with that. Test Track was a better ride. I think Spaceship Earth is still something that a teenager would enjoy because not only is it educational, which again there is some of that. It's almost like the Backlot Tour where there was a little bit of. You felt a little cool going on it.
Yeah, it's also just the uniqueness of being like, I was inside of that large orb.
Yeah. But I remember it wasn't too long ago where they wanted to take out the ride and make that a roller coaster. There's a reason that they wanted to do that. They just physically couldn't do it because they needed more stuff like that. Now, if Guardians gets put in there, if you get something like that, that's going to change that way that that's perceived. But for now, I'm looking at it going, there's a little bit for kids. And there's a lot for adults. And I don't – that middle ground is
mostly
attractive.
What's there for adults is eating, drinking, and watching films.
Right.
So I
stuff
mean,
that a teenager would not enjoy.
And they have said that Epcot is getting a California Adventure-style makeover next.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and when that comes, we'll talk about it then. But for these – I mean, that's,
for now,
that's at least five plus
years
away.
So Epcot – for the teenager is probably the underdog park. It's probably the last on the list.
Yeah.
And there was a reason we went to it for field trips for school when I was younger.
Right.
Like we actually went to Epcot.
It's an educational experience that has rides. And I mean, let's break it down. So
and now
you're talking about,
it's
I'd
an
say,
educational bar.
So yeah, exactly. For all adults.
For adults.
So you really have, I mean, let's just break it down. You have Soarin', that I'd say would be something that your teenager would still enjoy. And you have Test Track. And is there really anything else? I mean, I'd arguably. Mission Space, yes. I always forget it because I never do it. Mission Space. So you do have an equal amount of big thrill rides as you do at the Magic Kingdom, but it's a different kind of experience.
You may have equal thrill rides, but it's also they're not equal thrill rides.
Right.
You have the same quantity,
they're all virtual
not
as well. They're not actual getting on a ride.
The Test Track is.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
technically, if you want to get into, well, it's also Frozen, so a teenage boy is not going to be excited. That's a thrillish ride.
Yeah, like I would put that on the list of things if I was a teen going.
Speaking of teenagers, they announced this week that they're coming out, as when you mentioned Frozen, a Frozen perfume available for purchase in Norway.
What does
Frozen smell like?
I'm shocked it doesn't exist already. I'm sure it does, like a Sephora. I'm sure you can get a Frozen scent.
No, it's maybe like the little kids.
Right,
the guy this that does like the Norway perfume is creating a Frozen.
I mean, like a blue, like a.
What
like
does blue smell like? Like the color blue?
No, like the Chanel blue line, like kind of a cool smell.
Right.
I like that smell.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. This is my guess. Okay. I just got fancy man on you for a second there, but yeah, man, something not musky, something kind of more cold. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like a cool, like a peppermint. Oh, like that.
Mm-hmm. Minty fresh.
So we'll find out. Go buy us a bottle. We'll spray it all over the studio.
Please don't do that.
So at Epcot, and then World Showcase. Let's look at World Showcase as a whole. Like, is there any stop that is, I mean, Mexico, I'd say, is always a great stop because it's a cool experience to be in there. Just like the visual of it is cool. Japan, the store in Japan.
Yeah.
Because it's all anime.
That's pretty much the only thing I was going to say was store in Japan, especially if you have a more nerd culture child.
Yeah, someone that likes that kind of thing. They have all the Dragon Ball and Pokemon and all that exists there. Maybe some in England. But it's all Paris, shopping.
Yeah, Paris has that. They've upped their shop in Paris recently.
I just don't feel like a teenager is going to.
It's not something they're going to be excited about going into it. To me, I'm looking at this as not only as a what would you do, it's also the sales pitch. And the sales pitch of Epcot is honestly, the sales pitch of Epcot may be easier than the sales pitch of Magic Kingdom, but the enjoyment level I think will be much more than Magic Kingdom.
Well, I disagree with that because I feel like you just saying we're going to Disney, they think of Mickey Mouse in the castle. Yeah. And so that's your sales pitch. We're going to Disney, and they're like, I don't care what rides they are. We're going in,
Yeah.
Epcot, I feel like it's harder just because it doesn't really have the streetmosphere. Like, inside the different pavilions, it has a different culture feel.
It totally depends on your kid. But if we're talking the, run of the mill, and I would consider, though Will and I were nerdy and weird and a little different, we're still pretty run of the mill teenage boys, where we would go to Universal to just hang out.
Yeah.
Like, we'd have annual passes, and we would go with our friends to, like, we'd hop on a Cat in the Hat.
Uh-huh.
8 times in a row.
Right.
Do stupid teenager stuff. Because it'd be like,
hey, remember that time we did Cat in the Hat 8 times in a row?
I think of it every time we go. They would be yelled at us through the loudspeakers. I think of that every time. But it was also even their kids' stuff had a little bit of an edge. And because you'd say Seuss Landing is probably their biggest kids, other than the thing no one plays in, like the kid zone area in USF. Even their Seuss part, and Seuss was hot also in 1999. Oh, yeah. It was like, it was the cool thing going on with movies.
Right, because they had
the Grinch and everything.
And the live action movies.
Yeah. So it was kind of a.
People wearing the Cat in the Hat hats everywhere.
And the park was brand new.
Thing one and thing two shirts. Yeah.
They don't go up to thing five. I was very mad because I wanted to get them for my wife and I and our kids.
No, you can if you go to like PCB.
Yeah, Etsy.
Etsy. No, I'm talking about like
they have drunk one, Alvin, drunk two. See that Alvin Island?
Yeah. It'll go up to five.
Yeah, those might go up to 20 because of the roving packs of Spring Breakers.
20 drunk. I'm 20 drunk. You 20 drunk?
So let's maybe then move into more an advice category of are there any hidden gems we're missing here, and what would you do? I know Riker will be a teenage boy in the next 8 years. What am I going to do? And that's going to be a question. So are there any hidden gems when it comes to, you can even think about resorts, anything we're forgetting? Well, if your kid you could be bass fishing.
Well, when I was in high school, I loved hanging out at the pool and doing stuff like that. Yeah. So I do think that
There's a resort day,
if you're at a cool resort, that is going to take it to another level for someone just being able to hang out and chill. And you're in Florida, hanging out at the pool is a big part of that. Before I lived in Florida, whenever people would come visit me in Florida, is there a pool? That's the main question. Yeah. And yes, the answer to that is always yes. There's always a pool somewhere that you can go to. I think that, and I would say water parks.
Yeah, true. Didn't think about that at all.
Yeah, I think a water park is a fun experience.
It's naturally thrilling.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also, a little bit crazy.
So I haven't been to either water parks in quite a few years, if I'm being completely honest. And by quite a few, I mean maybe a couple decades. But I remember both. I actually remember all three very vividly.
But it's a teenager. A water park in general is just awesome.
Yeah. So I feel like Blizzard Beach is probably your best bet, though, because it had the more fun race kind of oriented and if you know what I mean, like the big drop ride.
Has the surfing?
I don't know.
The Typhoon Lagoon that has the surfing?
I think maybe Typhoon Lagoon is surfing, but that's way overrated. You ever tried to do one of those standing surfing things?
Go, like one of the things I know they offer is they offer the surf lessons where you can go and get surf. And I think there's a lot of extra.
Water Mania had that.
It's a pain.
Nothing like real surfing.
Well, sure.
It's real hard. Like, it's just you get
it's a lot harder than real surfing.
You get blasted the whole time with a full wave. Like, it is tough.
I think there's a lot of extra things to do that, depending on where you're from, also. Like, if you're from small town or even where we live, like, we don't have a movie theater that you can go to a movie theater and eat in.
Right.
And so Disney Springs has a great theater that you can, you know, if you're, they're always showing, you know, Disney movies and action movies and what, you know, whatever else is out.
Yeah.
I think that it's a fun, well done, clean, nice theater. You know, you kind of joked about bass fishing, but there's all the boat activities. You know, you can go parasailing.
And I'm not joking. It's more just if that's something your kid is interested in. And maybe certain kids from different areas, they would love that. To me, it's the generalized people that they're advertising to at Universal. It's this, is your kid ready? And that's their whole model right now. And the thing is looking at it as a whole, it's still that is an underserved demographic majorly. For Disney, especially from the sales pitch point of view, because it's
absolutely
difficult. It'd be a lot. It's not saying they won't have a blast. They may have a blast. But think about your kids when you're booking this vacation and talk to them about it and see what they're interested in. Go through the list of attractions. Go through the list of shows. You know, you think about shows. Most of the kids are not going to be pumped up about going to see Beauty and the Beast live on stage or going to see.
Is anyone actually pumped up?
No. A lot of. Yes, I've heard. I've heard from people when I've said that it was my least favorite thing. But looking at all of that, like, just keep in mind, I know it's going to be tough when I get there, but it's tough to be like, I'm sure, to relinquish that part of, yeah, we're not going to wait in line to meet Mickey Mouse. I mean, I can't tell you how long it had been from the time, other than on the cruise when they did that, like, all the characters just show up. Until then, which was before we had kids. So if you go from before I had Riker to the last time I took a picture with a costumed character, it had been, I mean, decades. It was probably since I was 15 years old, if that. No, probably 12 years old. I'm sure Will and I probably grabbed random one at Universal with a Spider-Man or something like that.
Well,
you knew Spider-Man.
I knew Spider-Man.
But even like a Doctor Doom, we didn't have cell phones.
Right.
So that probably is different.
We never did like a photo pass thing where we never went back and got it later.
Right.
So it's a different time in that.
Yeah, different time in that. But I still think that's not something that is – it may be more attractive to this current generation of kids. It just wasn't attractive to us to go hang out and wait in line to get a picture with the character. So maybe, you know what? Maybe limit that to one family photo that you're going to get with Mickey Mouse and tell your kids, hey, we're doing this because we're doing this for the family. We know it's not what you want to do, but enjoy it and you're here for it with us.
Well,
so do it.
That reminds me of like dining. You know, when you have teenagers, it might be time to skip Chef Mickey's.
Yeah, maybe time to skip character dining in general and then
move
to...
or pick like one like Tusker House.
Or sci-fi.
Yeah, like
You meant talk about for
character. If you're gonna do,
I mean, I can say again,
I would skip character dining.
Yeah.
With a teenage boy,
there may have been. Yeah, I don't even think I. It, yeah, when you have other kids with you, obviously you need to plan accordingly to deal with. If you have a 12 and 13 year old boy or 14 year old boy and an 8 year old girl, you're gonna have to make some concessions here or there. But I think it's just important the way you pitch it. Now, looking at it as someone who's a Disney fan, as my son is a Disney fan, looking at will we go like we do now. Obviously, my daughters will be going for quite a while now to the Magic Kingdom, and I look forward to that. I love the parks. But for my boy, he is already at 4 years old, though he's excited to go to the Magic Kingdom. He's excited about Buzz Lightyear, and he still loves meeting the characters. So that's like the two things he really likes. Pirates, the Tiki Room, he likes some of those more kid stuff, but he's already starting to, though Small World is something he loves, I could see in his head, like, If the Universal attractions were aimed at a younger, where he felt comfortable on them, because what does he do on his daily life? He talks about Star Wars, which will be a huge plug when that comes in. But then he talks about Marvel, and he talks about Transformers, and he talks about King Kong, and which is weird, but he's really into King Kong right now because the new movie's coming out. He's seeing the trailers. And whoever ends up with Power Rangers, I'm curious if that ends up somewhere with the movie coming out, which I would bet happens at Universal.
And I think the next play for Disney to win this demographic is going to be the Marvel products that aren't tied to Universal. And there are some of the characters that aren't.
I mean, that's part of me why when they were talking about retheming Tower, yes, I know that I got slammed for it, and I understand that. But to me, there is that bit of going, hey, Riker, you want to go do a Twilight Zone ride? And him just be like, what?
Yeah.
And then, not to say Twilight Zone wasn't the most brilliant series ever, but him to go, you want to go do Guardians of the Galaxy? And the answer
that's
is
the thing, is you're going to even if he hasn't seen something like Guardians of the Galaxy, you would be more inclined to show him a superhero movie
than Twilight Zone.
Than Twilight Zone, just because mainly, it's either going to terrify him or he's not going to get it. Yeah. Just be bored.
He has seen Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm not going to lie, because I'm a bad parent.
that's what I'm saying. You're more likely to show that to him.
And I'd say that even to a 10-year-old, you know, because really the Twilight Zone, as much as, I mean, I love the Twilight Zone. I love the series, but it's really social commentary and a lot of deep thinking. And, someone mentioned on another podcast and I went and watched that episode that was recently, I forget what it's called, where it's like the woman who, there's like a little ship flying around and she's like in her kitchen and she's trying to hit it like it's like tiny little invaders, and then you find out like at the end, like, no, we're the invaders.
Yeah.
And she's a giant.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would just mess with your kid's head.
Right.
Like, for no reason. Wait till they're at least a teenager.
Yeah, that's a really good episode, though.
Oh, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's one of the best series ever made. That being said, it's one of those properties that's hard to sell. Now, it's easy to say you want to go do the giant drop ride, the Tower of Terror. Yes, that's an easy sell. But that's why I was actually excited to hear you, right, for Guardians to be coming in and potentially to hear some of the other Marvel stuff they could get in there, because I'm seeing what they're doing now over in California with Marvel this year, and it looks like a blast.
Oh, every time they take a piece off the tower there and it's becoming
Guardians. Not even just Guardians. They're doing a whole summer program of Superhero Summer where you're going to have all the characters out. You're going to be – because what's happened now at Universal's Marvel Island is it's stuck in 1999.
Yeah.
Because they aren't – they aren't pushing forward to, I don't think they can, to make, you know, Captain America looks like he does from the comics. Wolverine is the yellow and blue Wolverine. Spider-Man is really the only one that looks like the one
they
who's
have licensed. Yeah.
Right. So they have those. They literally look like the X-Men television series, the cartoon.
Which is great.
Which is great. But again, that's even starting to feel a little dated. And though I don't think they will ever relinquish that contract, because why would they? It's an interesting time.
It does put Universal at a disadvantage if they can't adapt beyond that.
Yeah.
And Disney, I feel like, does kind of have a knockout punch coming with the Star Wars.
Mario. They got Nintendo coming.
Okay. You know what, though? Mario, I don't think is big.
Not as Star Wars, no.
Especially for teens. And you talk about, but
Go and all those things.
Okay, you could say the same thing that Pokemon and those things fade.
Yes, true.
Star Wars is humongous. They're putting out movies like crazy.
There's no
also,
doubt
it's like how we were talking about that people aren't going to comic book stores for Star Wars anymore because it's so mainstream. That is the pinnacle of popularity. And so,
I mean, the thing about this, Rogue One is the second,
of course, make it a theme,
the second highest grossing Star Wars film.
Which is nuts.
Right. Force Awakens is number one.
Right.
Rogue One, Phantom Menace, and then so on and so on. But also that's inflation and all that. But with inflation, I think that Star Wars, A New Hope, still is number one.
Interesting.
But that inflated stuff, it's very vague. If you really want to look at what's the biggest Star Wars film of all time, it's clearly The Force Awakens. And I think you're going to see that continue on because Disney knows what's at risk once they make a clunker. That the fan base, we saw it in the 90s. Because if you see the difference in box office between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, and then it upticked again for Revenge of the Sith because it got good reviews and people wanted to see that.
Darth Vader.
That's what people wanted to see as episode one.
Right.
That clicked in. I mean, so I think you'll see Disney. I have full belief in the fact that we saw Phantom Menace, or we saw Force Awakens be a great film. We saw Rogue One be a great film. That episode 8 will be a fantastic film, The Last Jedi, and that Han Solo will be great. And you'll be able to continue this thing on. And you're right, it will continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And I think the concepts they're throwing at Pandora right now will go out the window. Because Pandora right now, to me, all the advertising campaign barely mentions Avatar. Have you kind of noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
It's Pandora, the world of Avatar. You know, it is, come look at this crazy thing we've built with James Cameron. It doesn't even, I mean, you see a Na'vi and you see the imagery. But not nearly.
And I think the ads actually are missing out on the opportunity to target it more to children.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy looking, but to me it's still very adult because Avatar was very adult theming.
You're right in that. But I did say this, my son, who watches all things, we were watching The Oscars. Yeah, we were watching the Oscars.
What did he feel about best costume design? Was that his? Was he pulling?
Yes, that's the one he did.
Yeah,
he would watch the first hour or so, and he would pick his like favorite, and which was typically whoever I was going for, but he would go for it. And no, he was pumped for Suicide Squad to win. He was pumped for the Fantastic Beasts because these are all brands he knows. Even if he hasn't seen them, he knows them just because they're
Harry Potter.
Right, he knows Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. He just knows he's not old enough to see the film. But he knows the imagery and he's seen it. He's been to Potter.
But he's like, La La Land. That sounds like for babies.
But he enjoyed it. But they went to the ad campaign for Pandora and he said, do I get to ride one of those? And it was the big animal thing that swoops down. And I said, I think so, because we've kind of seen some leaked imagery of what you get on and it's kind of like you're getting on one of those big animals. That got him pumped.
Yeah.
He has no idea what Avatar is. Like, I've exposed him to pretty much everything, but Avatar, because again, is one of those, not that we're going back to it, Avatar is one of those things that you really can't see until you're a teenager.
Yeah.
A lot of language. It's pretty violent. You know, it's borderline R-rated. I thought
it was rated.
I did too. It was PG-13.
Huh.
So I think you may be right there, Will, that if they really go all in on like, you can ride a dinosaur, basically. Whatever, you know, that's what a banshee is, but.
Yeah.
I think we'll maybe on
no, something. I think he's right. I think Avatar and Star Wars may fill that void, but for the next Avatar will fill part of it. In Star Wars, you got 2019 is what they're saying. So if you're gonna plan, if your kid
right, and that gives you two different theme parks.
Yes,
that will be. Whereas
sadly, it's the two theme parks we already are suggesting for teens to visit.
Yes, but it will beef it up and give it more time. I mean, I kind of feel like at the moment you could hit both of those in one day.
Yeah.
And it'll give you two full days, I think, that your teenager – because here's the other thing with teenagers, like we were talking about with even just writing Dr. Seuss back-to-back. That's almost like a badge of pride. So if it's a really cool ride, then the teenager is going to be like, I want to ride it again. I want to ride it again.
Yeah.
You know, I want to try the different rows. I want to do those things. So you
and your kid will also want to get out of the heat.
True.
Like, I feel like we did half the time Cat in the Hat just because, like, there's no line, it's air conditioning. Yeah. It's freezing in here. Go.
It was great AC, too. I don't know how that their bill for the AC and Cat in the Hat, right?
But there are not enough people in line to absorb
it. Yeah.
I think the Star Wars fireworks are another thing are fantastic to see all of those characters.
It's the
teenagers.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have to pick one, it's the one to go to because it's Star Wars.
See, I think teenagers couldn't care less about fireworks.
It's not just the fireworks; it's the projection.
I know. I'm still telling you.
All right.
I don't think that it's for teenagers.
I don't think it's for teenagers, but I think if you had to pick one, like if you're going to
out of the nighttime,
it's the one to do.
Right, and I just don't think that the nighttime spectaculars
unless
are what
there's
you're
some other ones
your teenagers
coming up
for.
That we don't know about yet. We'll see. All right. But I can't imagine it being better than Star Wars.
And I'm just telling you, don't think a teenager cares about a nighttime spectacular unless they've got a cute girl by them.
Right.
And then they're probably just making out.
If you brought a girlfriend.
Yeah. Weird family.
Here's the deal. If you brought your girlfriend, don't mean people bring their girlfriends. Like if you're a teenager, an older teen.
Like 23.
No, like 16, 17. Sometimes you'd bring your girlfriend.
Leave the kids at home.
No, but I'm saying is then you will love the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, for
real. That's a slow rise. You could like
hold
hands.
How to get your teenage boy excited about Disney World? Bring his girlfriend. And then he'll go to the Magic Kingdom. He'll take pictures of all
the
characters.
All the princesses.
So there's your solution. For teenage girls,
we've solved the mystery of it.
Yes, we have a conclusion. For teenage girls, I think we kind of said it. This generation of teenage girls, from what I can kind of at least tell, seems like they are more pop culture friendly.
Cinderella.
Right. So good for them. I really don't see that being a problem for and again, I am generalizing. There are clearly both sides to the coin for boys and girls when it comes to what they're interested in. I understand there are boys that will want to go get a picture with Mickey Mouse. There are girls that will want to just go to Universal, honestly, because of Potter, because there's a huge female demographic for Harry Potter. Yeah. I would actually probably put a majority of the demographic for Harry Potter is probably female. When you walk around, it's mostly girls in robes and shirts and stuff. So
girl nerddom is huge.
Yeah, which is why I actually think that it's going to be an easier sell still, even Walt Disney World. Where for a boy, yes, nerd culture for boys is there. But again, like you said, that nerd culture is mainstream culture.
Right.
It is Star Wars. It is Avengers. It's comic book. Characters, not necessarily comic books, but comic characters. These are all the big blockbusters. That's different than that. So I don't want to overgeneralize, but I think your girls are probably good. And you know, there's so many different options for girls when it comes to tea and things you can do at all the hotels. Again, much more so than there is for boys. So maybe
who would have ever thought that a teenage girl would be easier to deal with?
Yeah. Only a Walt
Disney World situation. Yeah.
So okay, you can also sell your boys on Marrakesh. you sell your boys on Marrakesh and on the Luau. Both of those, just show them a video.
Uh huh.
Anything you're
like, hey,
go.
You want to go watch this? We're staying in Poly.
You can get up and dance with her. They encourage it.
Uh huh.
So yeah, Bob, we went to Disney World. We ate lunch at Marrakesh every day.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
I think we're good.
We're good. Marrakesh solves all the boy problems right there.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that teen night here on WD today. What, Will?
Teen night at the Groove.
Yeah, at the Groove. They still have the Groove even. I don't know.
How did the Groove of all those
How's the teen
last?
Night?
No, oh. How did it last?
Well, I went to Margaritaville teen night. I think a lot of those are still there, but there's some brand new ones too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have any listener questions or no?
Yeah,
we have one. All right, we're going to do that. I'm still not on them, but here they are. Here are listener questions with Len right now.
It's time for listener questions with Len.
Michael McRae from Los Angeles wants to know, we're traveling to Disney World in early August. Pack your shorts. And I have one question to ask. We're big fans of Fantasmic, and I've been wondering if you guys could help us by describing what all is involved with the Fantasmic dinner package. Have you done it? Do you think it's worth the price? Love the show, and thanks for your help.
Wow. So you can, for the dinner package, I believe it's dinners start at like 4 o'clock. It's at Mama Melrose's Hollywood and Vine in Brown Derby. And there are various prices. But the big thing is if you're going to eat dinner at one of those places anyway, this gets you guaranteed seating into Fantasmic, which means you don't have to wait the half or an hour or an hour to get in line. And you don't have to use one of your fast passes on it.
I tell you where the dining packages definitely make sense. If you're on the dining plan, they do make sense. So, you know, I'll use this as an example, Michael. I did the dining package for Rivers of Light, just booked that. And I only did it because I looked and I went, you know what? My wife wants to go to Narcoosie's. We haven't been in a while. She wants some lobster and some of that cheesecake. So I looked at the dining plan and it was going to be, you know, basically $30 more to get the dining plan than it would be just to eat at Narcoosie's, the big deluxe dining plan. So I was like, let's just get the big deluxe dining plan and do that. And so there is no extra charge. You know, you're just getting charged your dining plan allotment. Some of them, when you pay cash, there tends to be, I don't know, a $10 to $20 upcharge per person. You really notice that on the Epcot dining packages for like Candlelight Processionals.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you're planning your Disney vacation, is spend the $10 or $15 to save yourself an hour of frustration. I think that's just a good investment. Especially if not everybody gets to go to Disney regularly like we do, because we're there to check new things out, to tell you about them. I think it's worth spending the money, Lynn. What do you think?
I do too. I mean, that's one of the classic trade-offs: spend money to save time.
Yeah, and that's what you're basically. That's what the economy is about right now. Is the exchange of money for time? Because that's why Uber has a business, because it's saving people time.
No, I totally agree. And especially when you're talking $10 or $15. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, an hour of standing in a corral in August, an hour of standing outside after it just rained in, you know, at 5 or 6 o'clock at night when it's crazy humid, or just casually walking up and taking a seat.
You're basically spending $10 an hour or so just for your ticket to get into the park. So if there's four of you, it's that hour of standing around is $40.
Right.
So if you're $15, you know, more for the dining package, you've essentially saved $25, and you can go on rides.
All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
Tim has a pretty good question here. Let's take a look. He's got a 3 generations trip, kids, parents, and grandparents. October 2017. It's Columbus Day week. What are the benefits and costs of using park admissions for Magic Kingdom in the morning, then they're going to do afternoon naps on the day of their
Halloween party.
Yeah, the not-so-scary Halloween party. I'm wondering if lower crowds on those mornings would ever make it a good idea.
Yeah, it would. So here's the advantage, right? By seeing the Magic Kingdom rides in the morning, you can focus on the Halloween party activities during the party, and you won't feel rushed to go from ride to ride. There's a lot of great stuff that happens only during the parties. We generally tell people to concentrate on that.
Right.
Yeah. And so this way, if you get all of your favorite rides out of the way during the day, it allows you to go back, take a nap, get rested, and then just experience the Halloween party things that are unique to the special event at night. You know, the candy collection, the character meet and greets, and what. I think that's actually a fantastic plan.
Good. All right. I'm not so sure Logan would agree.
Yeah, Logan's not a fan of that.
But you know what? Logan's not here for this.
Not here.
So,
yeah, exactly. So, you know.
His own fault.
The opposite of that, we recently had a question on the show about going alone to Disneyland, and I've gone alone to the Halloween party, mainly because I was there. It was a time when I didn't have an annual pass, and cast member tickets were blocked because something had just opened. So it was my only chance to get in to Magic Kingdom. So I paid for the party and rode everything I wanted to in 4 hours.
Because everyone else was doing on that.
So, stuff. You know, there's two ways to kind of experience that. But if you have kids, obviously you're going because your kids are dressing up. So, man, take advantage of that and enjoy it rather than, you know, I think part of why Logan had a bad experience is, you know, as Riker was in a, you know, had a backpack on with space rockets. And as soon as you ride a ride with that, the costume's kind of shot.
So, you know, Logan didn't like it because of he didn't feel like there was enough for Riker to do.
Yeah.
So it didn't have anything to do with the costume. It was he thought he was hoping for more.
More, yeah.
But that's also, he's a Halloween Horror Nights guy. So.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Jeff wants to know, I've always wondered why the American Adventure Pavilion is located right in the middle of the two World War II Axis power in Epcot's World Showcase. Germany and Italy on one side and Japan on the other side. Is this a happy accident or is there a reason for this?
Yeah, it's. I think it's a let bygones be bygones thing. On it,
I don't think they planned it that way.
So I mean, let's go around it though. So we've fought wars with Mexico. We haven't fought wars with China. I don't think.
No.
We fought wars with.
Did we have a war with the Vikings?
Well, we've fought wars with Italy.
The Native Americans had wars with the Vikings.
Japan. We haven't invaded Morocco.
There were Nazi holdouts in Morocco, North Africa.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that movie, Casablanca. Yeah. Uh-huh. But, So I mean, we haven't fought Morocco or China, as far as I can tell.
Canada
or France.
Canada, we haven't fought Canada.
Yeah, we have. We invaded Canada back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, and we fought England several times.
I missed that.
Yeah. So basically, there are only three Epcot countries that we haven't invaded or fought with. Okay, and I'm not even sure about that China, but okay. Anyway,
it's a great area.
So really, really, I mean, there aren't a lot of countries that we could actually choose from.
Yeah,
in there, but anyway, yeah.
Fun question though, Jeff. Thanks for asking.
That was great. I think, you know, the Mexico Pavilion is actually a great starter. You know, it's one of the countries that you see when you come in from Future World. It's a great place to start. It actually bookmarks the hotel in Canada really well. So you want those sort of imposing structures up front.
All right. Next question. This one I will read a little bit of the.
Yeah, you should read it
all.
This is from
Bobby. And Bobby is a new listener to the show. And he discovered this podcast on my other podcast, The Podcask with a K, which is our whiskey and bourbon show. So thanks for listening, Bobby. Thanks for making the transition from that way. Normally, we've taken a few WDW listeners that way.
Yeah.
This may be the first one flowing upstream. So thanks for listening. He has an interesting question. This is another Disneyland one because he is a Disney World guy. So he was saying, I'm planning a 3-day trip to Disneyland in the fall. And he's been there once, but it was brief, and it was an afternoon convention ticket. So his Disney-file brother has never been. They're going together. Mm-hmm. They're familiar with Walt Disney World attractions, but also want to maximize their time in Disneyland. I know there's some similar rides, but they're sufficiently different and inherently worthy of their time. Pirate, Small World, Space Mountain. His question is, what attractions at Disneyland or California Adventure are close enough to Walt Disney World versions that their time may be better spent on other things? So essentially, is there anything at Disneyland that it's like, okay, I've done this because I did it in Florida?
Soarin', California.
Yes, Soarin', Tower of Terror, which is closed.
Obviously closed. Maybe when are they going to be there?
In the fall.
So the new the Guardians, they'll definitely probably want to check that out. What else should they skip? Mermaid Space Ride?
Mermaid Ride is the same. I think Space Mountain is actually close enough.
Unless there's an overlay on it when you're there.
Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, unless there's an overlay.
I think Toy Story, you could probably skip, but it's different enough that the fact that it's on the boardwalk as a boardwalk attraction, it feels different.
No, it's fine. Go ahead and skip it.
Bug's Life, you definitely can skip that.
Yeah.
Both locations.
I wouldn't skip. Obviously, I can think about what you shouldn't skip is definitely Pirates.
Pirates or Haunted Mansion.
Or Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
I wouldn't skip either of those.
What else would you skip at the land, Lynn? Come on.
Peter Pan's Flight?
Yeah.
That's a Dumbo. I mean, all these sort of the outdoor spinner rides, you know, teacups, those are all the same. You know, I think Alice in Wonderland is unique enough that even though there's not one at Walt Disney World, it's worth seeing in Disneyland.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know about Pinocchio's Daring Journey, though. I think I would skip that either way.
I think I would skip that regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Mr. Toad, I mean, you got
to. Do not under any circumstance skip Mr. Toad.
I agree with that. I'm a big fan.
It is a wild ride.
So the outdoor spinner rides, you know, Space Mountain, Soarin', I think those are the big ones. Toy Story Mania, you can skip those.
Cool. Yeah, I think that answers it. Thanks for listening, Bobby, to both shows. You got the next question, Terry?
Before we go, I would skip the Submarine Nemo ride because it's a disappointment in general.
I'm not going to argue with that. Okay. Yeah, I think
the line is long. It's outside. If it's hot, it's miserable. The load time is atrocious. And then you get underwater and it's like, wait, Nemo's not seen swimming with real fish right now?
It's basically the Seas with Nemo and Friends in a submarine.
Yeah. And without real fish.
No, without real fish. Yeah. Good point. Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And it's claustrophobic.
There's that.
All right, this is a dig at me, I think, but here we go. I think this is a dig at all of us. Sorry, but I got a comment on the All-Star Sports being the worst of the All-Stars. I'll give you that for theming, but theming really doesn't matter to me when I am value. Since I don't plan on being at the resort, but what matters to me more at that point is transportation. Mm-hmm. And all ADSL, I guess that's all sports, I guess. What is that, ADSL?
Oh, no, at the bottom, there was autocorrects.
Okay. So All-Star Sports is the best of them. First picked up, always get a seat, first dropped off, quicker trip, and sometimes even gets a dedicated bus during busy seasons. Now, I love pop better, but actually like sports best of the All-Stars.
Okay.
So that was, just to fill in, we did a best and worst of resorts episode last week, and we all... Logan and I specified All-Star Sports we thought was the worst value resort. So that's what it was. That wasn't really a question, Michael. That was just a comment.
It was a statement. The sun is hot.
So basically, Michael was listening to our opinion-based show and didn't like our opinion.
All right.
Yeah. You're not the first and won't be the last, Michael.
Fair enough. All right. Last question of the day. Allison asks... I'm the only person in my family of four who has an annual pass. We have a trip booked in September that starts the day before my AP expires. My plan was to pay for my 7-day park hopper along with the rest of the family, then renew my pass when we get there. That way I would remain eligible for any promotions that came out, like free dining, where AP holders typically are excluded. Will I be able to get credit for my ticket price against my renewal if I do this?
Yes.
Simple as that.
Yeah, no worries at all. But you may want to check to see if there are any annual pass discounts if you're staying on site.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is even if you don't have the annual pass the day that you check in, and you will actually because it'll expire the day after.
Mm-hmm.
all you have to do is renew it and then show it at any time during your stay, and you get the lower rate. So
gotcha. Yeah. Well, there you go.
I will say this. There's a little risk of getting a bad guest services person in this who doesn't know what they're doing, particularly if your annual pass has some discounts on it.
Yeah, go back to the next person.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a family member that I sit down and they couldn't figure it out for the life of them. You know, and it was just like, well, you don't have the same, you know, they were getting my DVC. It was for my mom. You know, it's like, well, they don't have the same address. I'm like, you're an immediate member of my family. You're my mother. You're eligible for my discounts. But it was just, one kind of side note, I do want your opinion on this, Will. I've noticed that some of the guest services has gotten some younger people working there who seem like that used to be a really coveted position, and now it almost seems like people are coming in the college program and getting in that position. Mm. Have you noticed that at all or hear any feedback from that?
No, I haven't. That's interesting though.
They just seem to be trending a little younger and a little less.
I think you're just trending older, Terry.
Probably. Probably.
All right. That's awesome. Going to do it for listener questions today. Thank you, Lynn, for joining us. Glad to have you back on. And
thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here.
We appreciate it, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right. That's going to do it. Thanks to Dr. Lynn Testa for helping us out again. I assure you, in the coming days, I will return to that segment.
Oh, you know how we joked about the maybe doing like a tequila podcast or something? Yeah. Had a listener send a Facebook message to the podcast, be like, hey, are the rumors true about a tequila podcast with Lynn? So I don't know if there's like waves are being made out there, like this rumor spreading or whatever, but I think we should do another special episode with tequila with Lynn.
All right. I'm up for it. Sorry, I just got a cryptic text from you, Will.
From me?
That was like a screenshot.
Oh, yeah, that was like 30 minutes ago.
Tell them that...
I've literally said everything is junk. Just
that's not...
Okay.
That is Terry's.
Oh, okay.
So don't throw that away. I hope you guys enjoyed. We just moved into our new studio. We just are finishing up move, so I want to make sure that doesn't get thrown away. We're literally going to go pick it up after the show.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope your teens are happier and friendlier than they ever were. I don't wish for those days to come soon. I have lovely Disney loving 1- and 4-year-olds, and I will enjoy that as long as I can, and I hope you do as well. But no, even when they turn evil, they're going to come back around later on. So enjoy your time. And that's going to do it for today's show. We're all going to be in Orlando this week, so look out for us, but not too closely. You can find us now. If you need us, tweet us. We'll be around. Maybe you can give something to Terry.
Yeah, I've heard some. Give a gift. I've people been asking. They want to meet up. So we'll post a little something. We'll do a little.
Terry's good at that. Will and I, if you're at the Orlando City match and you see us, come say hey. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on the next show.